back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Better submit this one to the Emmy crew. 33 minutes in and I've managed to avoid team of the day so far. I'm incredibly proud of my efforts.
Like you said, though, at the start of the show, team of the day is the New York Rangers. Team of the day was first overall President's Trophy winning team. Team of the day did not really add many significant players, did not lose many significant players. They are the same team. So roll the tape from what we talked about, the New York Rangers in the summer of 2023, and it's basically the same thing moving in with Peter Laviolette as the head coach, Michael Pekka as an assistant coach, Phil Housley. Like, talk to Pekka at the alumni tournament, and they're dialed in over there.
Housley wasn't there.
No, Housley did not make an appearance, unfortunately.
So they win the President's Trophy. In the last 3 years, they've had 114, 107, and 110 points. They've had seven rounds of playoff action over the last 3 years, but they have not scaled the mountain.
Nope.
Second year, Peter Laviolette coming up. The core is clearly a year older and still very, very, very good. But let's get inside the numbers with the New York Rangers.
Okay, what do you got? Because I got some too.
Well, this was a valid talking point through the course of their President's Trophy winning season.
Yeah.
And the number never really changed in the playoffs either. They were a very, very, very average 5-on-5 team.
Yes. Great.
Special teams yes. were awesome for them in regular season and in playoffs. They had 8 shorties in the regular season, which was, and then they had 6 more in the postseason. And you're like, holy cow. Not only is their power play dynamite, their penalty kill kicks your butt as well, but they're just meh at 5-on-5. Now their shooting percentage was almost shockingly low at 5-on-5, despite the weapons that they have.
Yes.
But is it some form of truth in there that they are, in fact, what they are at 5-on-5? And by not making significant changes here, could this be a concern again for this New York Rangers team?
So I went back to the way the Sabres played 3 games against the Rangers last year. They went 1-1-1. And the first game of the season, interesting is, well,
oh, that was not a good one for Buffalo.
We had a tough time against the 1-3-1. The Rangers, we haven't seen the 1-3-1. The Rangers play a 1-3-1. I feel like 5-on-5, the Rangers last year, and this is going to be their identity this year as well. They just want to be even. They don't want to go out and beat teams 5-on-5. They just want to do a 1-3-1, slow things down, and then who knows, maybe a team takes a lot of chances and their skill set is going to capitalize on turnovers and transition, or the power play is going to take over. You got Panarin, you got Zibanejad, you got Kreider, you got Lafreniere, you got Fox. Who else do they have? Trocheck that could play. Riley Smith now that can play.
Their playoff MVP in Trocheck, by the way.
Yeah.
He had 20 points, and he was by far their best player.
Yeah, okay. Regular season, Artemi Panarin, 120 points and 49 goals. The second scorer, point getter on the New York Rangers was Trocheck last year, was 43 points less than Panarin. But he was steady and consistent and was really good in the playoffs. But again, the Rangers played that style. They know they have, if not the best goalie in the league, one of the top 3 or 4 in Igor Shesterkin, who needed help from Jonathan Quick last year. With Jonathan Quick helped the Rangers stay at the top early, and then as the All-Star break came along, Shesterkin was better, and then he took off after that, and he was excellent in the playoffs, too.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Here's a number for you.
What?
12, 10 and a half, 11, 11 and a half, 8, 7. Like, that's Shesterkin. What's his next deal going to be like?
Oh,
12 million, 7 years, 8 years, is 10 and a half. Like, Carey Price is at 10 and a half million. He's not playing anymore. It's the highest AAV in the league.
Sorry.
Bobrovsky is at 10. I know. Carey Price is also like a MVP. Vezina.
When did he last play? Holy cow.
Carey Price last played. I had him pulled up earlier.
Anyway. Sorry to sidebar.
Well, no, I'll tell you. Carey Price last played in 2021, 2022, where he played five games with the Canadiens. The COVID year, that was 2021, where they were in the Canadian division, he played 25 years that year.
Cup final.
And they went to the Stanley Cup final against Tampa. And then that was basically it for Carey Price. After that, that was, you know, that was done. But Shesterkin's numbers are, it's about the contract now. It's a guy that's making $5.6 million the last few years, way underpaid, and now is looking to really cash in at about probably $11 to $12 million.
Oh, good for the Rangers. I hope they waste even more cap space.
Well, they, you know,
they don't need to go that high. I mean, I know he's going to try to leverage that, but they don't need to go that high. But
no, you're right. They don't need to, but it may cost them that. Now, if they go that high, and they, maybe they lose Kaapo Kakko, right? He's got another year at 2.4. Riley Smith's on a one-year deal. They're going to have to sign Alexis Lafreniere, but, you know, maybe they trade him. Maybe they say we have to make room
no,
for...
No, they're not trading him. He's their, he is a big piece of their
should
future.
Should have been traded a year ago. Teams should have...
No, he should have been offer sheeted a year ago.
Well, teams should have made a push for an offer sheet or a trade for Lafreniere a year ago. But yeah, you're right. Like, so... they have some options, but the key numbers for me is always going to be when it comes to their goaltender and Igor Shesterkin. But other than that, they do have a ton of high-end talent.
Yeah, they really do.
That's why it's scary for the New York Rangers.
They'll be fine. I mean, are you at all concerned, because we tend to focus on this with Pittsburgh, are you concerned about the age of the Rangers core? Or are you like, would you be like another year or two before you get thinking about that?
Another year or two, just because I feel like Chris Kreider can still play. He's 33 years old.
Yeah.
He can still skate. He's phenomenal. But when he gets to be 35 in the last year of his deal, and if he wants to remain with the Rangers, then it's a concern. If the Rangers decide, hey, we're going to re-sign Chris Kreider because he's been a Rangers and such a force for us. You know, Panarin... in 2 years, what did he do with Panarin? He's going to be 34 and going to be UFA. Mm-hmm. He's performing like he should be, getting another $11, $12 million.
Yep.
So that's a hard contract to give out at 34, Artemi Panarin, 35, Artemi Panarin, 36.
Or not, if they if he doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Well, Zibanejad slowed down this year, right? Mika Zibanejad this year.
Maybe.
You know, he went to 72 points. Last 2 years were 81 and 91.
Right, but Tage Thompson, Jason Robertson, and a bunch of others also had a little dip this year from the overall points. And
the difference is that Zibanejad's 31. Is that the precursor to him being on the other side of 30 compared to
No, that's why I lumped in the young guys in that argument, because I felt like the game had a little bit of a change this year for whatever. And that's just my brain, not...
Yeah,
I'm not basing it on, you know, because we all know that kind of goal scoring is has been where it's been, and it's technically, you know, still been kind of creeping up. But anyway, the Ranger hallmarks, and there are many, tied for second in the league when scoring first. They won 35 times. They were tied for third when not scoring first. They had 20 wins. But here's one that makes it relatable to the Sabres. And you have heard Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams talk about it. It's important. And I believe the Sabres found out the hard way on the back end of this the last time they played the Rangers in New York this year, because the Rangers had played the night before. The Rangers were 11-1 in the second of back-to-back games.
Yeah.
By far the best in the NHL. So whether you want to speak about age, experience, whatever that leads you to that, or goaltending,
yep.
Buffalo was 3-9, and that's why Kevin Adams talked about it and why Don Granato talked about it, and now Lindy Ruff is talking about it. That is a, and it has been, a massive statistical concern. It's the fact of the matter. You have to play back-to-back nights in the NHL. You can't have these results so consistently, right? So I think it's a real strength that the Rangers have been impressed with things like that. You know,
That's a Lindy Ruff thing. That always came about when I played for Lindy. We were going to be the best conditioned team in the NHL. And I used to laugh at me. It doesn't you win your game if you can skate around like without breathing heavy for 60 minutes. But over 82 games, over 15 sets, or we used to play 21, 22 sets of back-to-backs.
Right.
Like now it's not as many. But over that stretch of teams. Peter Laviolette's the same thing. Their training camp is hard. John Tortorella training camp is hard. There's a lot of those coaches. Paul Maurice training camp is hard. Why? Because it's setting the tone so that you can be, you know, handling these back-to-back situations. Goaltending is huge. Jonathan Quick was big. They may have lost the first game with Shesterkin earlier in the season and won game two. Why? Because Jonathan Quick was that good. Well, now Luukkonen, who's your next guy? Is it Reimer or Levi that's giving you that boost on the second of back-to-back? And you mentioned the last time those two teams played this year, it was December 23rd. It was right before the Christmas break. Do you remember what was so significant about our time at MSG? Because we were on the road for that game.
Well, we were coming off of the Stifler's Mom show, and I think, if I'm correct, is Stifler's Mom celebrating a birthday today? So we've mastered that part of the equation. I can tell you
it was probably our first broadcast where we both wore overcoats because it was so
cold. Yeah, dude, I was
cold.
Getting there. I was trying to get to, but I'm so cold now, it took a while to spit the whole thing out. But yeah, like, I was longing for the days when the lights caught on fire above our camera. When I think Brad and I were working, it was a brief smoldering. It wasn't a big blaze.
Yes.
But yeah, it was.
Hey, Jennifer Coolidge is like 63 today. So yeah,
I know.
That's a good pull right there.
Thank you. Well, producer Jeff lays out an awful lot for us before we hit the air. It's just sometimes we don't always connect the dots. So I'm happy to be able to have done so there. Yeah, it was a doubleheader at MSG that day. Basketball had just ended. Therefore, they turned the thermostat down significantly to get the NBA heat out of the arena. And holy cow, did we suffer.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been. I tried to kind of muscle way through, like, pregame, right? Like, I'm not going to wear the jacket. And then we watched the first period, and I had the jacket on, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not taking that off. And you're looking at me like, I've been waiting for you to say that for now an hour, like, you know,
if not 5 years.
Yeah, we were literally four layers on with this cold air conditioning. I was blasting right at the top of our heads in that little booth in MSG. But
we're
what a
nothing
night,
if
though.
Not
it was
admittedly
a great night.
What's that?
The Sabres lost in overtime, but it was a good game.
It was a good game. Yeah.
Mittelstadt got that goal when he got a freebie at the end there. He almost fumbled it into the net to beat Shesterkin, and then a little miscue in OT. Quinn loses his stick, comes back, overplays with Thompson, the puck carrier, and they left Kreider in the crease. But I felt like...
So what does Buffalo do against the Rangers this year?
Okay, against the Rangers this year, well, I mean, I was going to go. They played three times, and all three games, actually, no, they play November, December, and February. So it's spread out throughout the season. I was going to go 1-1-1. And then I decided, you know what? The Rangers are going to be good again this year. I'm going 1-2 against the Rangers for the Sabres this year. Last year, they went 1-1-1, and it took the second game especially was UPL, like, out of his mind. Like, he played so well against the Rangers. That was the Jimmy Vesey saves, the stick save against the Rangers at MSG. So I'm going to say 1-2, which now puts the Sabres +6. For the season after 49 games and 55 points.
Sabres' first home game this year is October 10th. We want to see you at KeyBank Center. If you like a mini pack, we encourage you to go to sabres.com/mini packs because that is where you'll find out more about the opportunity to do five games or more with great savings, ultimate flexibility, matchups, and opponents you want. sabres.com/mini packs. We're back after this on Sabres Live.